What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, y'all. It's episode 50.
Yeah, 50 Cent.
We've been alive for half a century. Today, we're in. It's a bit of an all-over-there episode. We're going to talk about a bunch of different news stories that involve Israel, Iran. Yeah. You know how it goes.
Yeah, some Syria in there, you know.
Some Russia.
Some personal stories speckled in. Just a great stream of consciousness time.
All right, have a good one.
Who are we? Where did we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born?
We are ethnically ambiguous.
My name is Anna.
And my name is Shireen. Come on.
Oh,
keep going.
I like potatoes.
I like beans.
Oh, okay. Black or refried?
Black.
Sam.
I like my men like I like my beans. Our producer Sophie just informed us that this is episode 50, the big 50.
Might be our last. Might be our first.
I can't believe we made it, you guys. We're half a century old. Wow. Feels weird.
So, what's up with you? What if I just had nothing to say at all?
Well, we're recording this on Friday the 6th, so the 4th of July was 2 days ago. How was your 4th of July?
It was okay.
Anything fun?
I went to this, like, mansion party that my friends, like, Airbnb'd this, like, rich person's house in the hills, and it was nice. Like, I really liked it. Certain people in my life did not like it. It was... I mean, I go for the pool. There's only one thing I ever go for anywhere for. So do you have a swimming pool? Sure, I'll show up because I just like to play in pools. I don't even have to be with anyone.
It's summertime.
I just like a pool. I like being in a pool. I don't even necessarily need, like, I can just be in a pool by myself for hours.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it. And then we went to our friend's place in Venice and, like, near the beach, and he, like, proposed to his girlfriend.
Oh,
and then he, like, lost the ring. It was a whole thing, and then they found the ring, so they were like,
damn,
all over the place, and it was fine. And then I went home and slept peacefully.
Yeah, I did some party hopping. I went to a couple, but I was on the east side mostly. I went to two places in Highland Park. Just like, I don't know, I ate all the food everywhere I went. I mean, my motivation going anywhere is the food, which is a little troubling to me because
you're big.
but I went to one place in Highland Park, ate all the food. Then I went to another place in Highland Park, ate all the food. Then I went to a place in Echo Park. And the place in Echo Park was like a house, like in this under this underpass. But people were just like lighting fireworks in the middle of the street. It was crazy. It was just like...
That's like all over LA.
It was just so It was crazy.
They were doing that in Venice too.
Yeah, and they were just like fireworks fatty everywhere. Fireworks. Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah. But it was fun, and it was like nice seeing like families come out and whatever. And yeah,
Emily loves illegal fireworks.
Yeah, obsessed.
I guess everywhere does.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I never really like thought of the 4th of July as like a holiday I enjoyed, but because I'm not like a big drinker, and I always thought it was like a white drunk holiday, but it's actually kind of fun. It's just like a holiday everyone has off, and you can just like hang out with your friends. And like, it was a little, oh, and the third party I went to had a Trump pinata that we were like bashing, but then it got really dramatic because they set it on fire, and I was like, okay, just stop, like,
bye,
come on, you hipster trash.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a little bittersweet, like celebrating anything about America, knowing that like America is kind of garbage right now. But what are you gonna do?
Yeah, what are you gonna do? I'm so, you know what? I'm not like a huge goer outer. Like, I don't, the concept of celebrating sometimes stresses me out because I think plans get so built up, and that really bugs me, because I'm like, well, I don't want to do this now. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so built up that it's not ever gonna be everything you wanted. Yeah. So like things like 4th of July or like New Year's, like
it's just better to keep it chill.
Yeah, I also like to chill. And sometimes when I have a day off, like I work so much that sometimes I just want to spend my day off like zoning out on the couch. But I'm not allowed to. No one lets you just do anything. Like, it's crazy. People are like, what do you mean you're staying at home? What do you mean you're laying in bed? It's like, fool, just let me live my life.
Yeah.
I don't care that I'm not interesting.
You are interesting. But
sure, I guess. But like, I'm not physically interesting. Like, I don't physically do interesting things. I don't know what I'm talking about.
But do, like, zoning out in a pool is like my favorite thing to do. Just like be like lying on my back for like hours at a time. That's my favorite thing to do. Just like be floating on my back, looking at the sky, like just like slowly moving and seeing the sky move with me. Like, that's like a meditative state for me.
I also like egg beating for some reason in the water.
Egg beating?
Yeah, when you like egg beat, it's like when you do the little,
you tread water.
Yeah, but it's not really treading water. It's like with your legs going in circles like that. It's egg beating. It's like a water polo thing. It's like how you stay afloat playing water polo. I don't know. I like water sports. I don't fucking know. I just like working on the water is really fun for me. Mm. I also like to try and only swim with my arms. I feel like that's a good workout.
Because you get a workout regardless when you're in the water, because there's resistance against you. Just being
it's
in
fun.
There.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's the greatest.
I need a pool.
Yeah, me
in
too.
My life.
It was cute because my mom and dad texted me that morning on the 4th of July. They were like, what are your plans today? We went on a hike. We wish you were there with us. We're going to go to our friend's barbecue now. And I was like, okay, first of all, y'all are adorable. Second of all, it just made me miss them a lot. But my dad also just texted me. He does this thing where he texts in Arabic all the time, but he'll text Arabic letters, but English words. And there's no V in the Arabic language. So he texted me in Arabic, I love you, shushu. I love you. Just randomly. We didn't even have something, it was just to me, not to the fan message. Oh my god.
That's cute. He's probably listening to the podcast.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, it was nice just relaxing and stuff, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been having a weird week. I've been having some medical problems with my vagina.
Girl talk.
Yeah, sorry for all the haters who don't like medical talk, but
this is necessary.
I'm having some issues and I'm dealing with them, aka my period has not stopped in a very long time, and it's driving me crazy.
And that's dangerous because if you lose a lot of blood, that's like low iron, and like you can pass out easily. And
yeah, and I do feel like shit like 90% of the time, but I don't know. It's like I'm dealing with that.
And a lot of it's because you're super stressed.
Well, they think it's because I'm stressed that it's happening. Like, I've been messaging with my doctor a lot. Shout out UCLA Medical Center. They respond to all your messages like that. They're like, oh, it's up. I'm not with a patient or anything. You're like, okay.
Are you talking about their online thing?
Yeah.
I use that too. Yeah.
I just hit them up like every 5 minutes, like, okay, now it's like this way. And they're like, oh, okay. They made me take a pregnancy test, which I was like, yeah, right. Okay.
Isn't that the opposite of being pregnant? Having your period?
Well, that they don't know. You have to like, they have to like check off everything. So they'd be like, take a pregnancy test. Okay, negative. Okay. Cool. Like, now you have to do this. Yeah. Okay, cool. Whatever. So I've been slowly falling apart because I'm so stressed. So my medical, and there's a lot going on. Boys, there's a lot going on. But this morning, my mom, as if she could sense my demise, sent me a text that said, hey, Anna, is everything okay with you? as if she could sense it.
It's that mother. Like, it's that mother instinct.
She's like, "Hey, I'm getting vibes that you feel like absolute shit." And so I texted her back, and I was like, "Mommy,
I need you.
Bring me your bosom, mommy. Let me lay my head upon your bosom." But I told her to call her later. I was like, "There's so much to talk about, Mom." But yeah.
Yeah.
I'm having a terrible time.
I'm sorry.
And it always like makes me think like, God, when you're really feeling the brunt.
Mm-hmm.
Brunt side of life. I don't know if any of those words made any sense.
Brunt is a word.
Okay. When you're feeling the brunt of it all.
But I don't know if you're using it right. Brunt, you're not using it right. I think you want to say when you when you're feeling the
Worst of it all?
Yeah, worst of it all.
It really makes you, hold on, super producey.
The grunt of it all?
The grunt of it all? That's what it's been this whole time.
Is that a saying? I didn't even know that was a saying.
Oh my God. Super producey Sophie. Just wrote it out for the grunt of it. I just Googled it. That is a thing.
Brunt is a word, though.
Grunt work.
I don't know what the context.
Maybe I don't know what. Okay, here's the thing. I don't know what I'm talking about. Basically, when you're feeling the worst, it's easy to be like, fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck it.
I think it's brunt.
It is brunt, right? Okay, guys, yeah, we're really learning
brunt,
here.
Brunt is a sound you make. Brunt is a thing you
but
feel.
But grunt is also grunt work. Yeah. It's like shitty work.
Yeah, because like, you're grunting through it. That's what.
But brunt, like, I'm feeling the brunt.
Okay, also, English was our second language, though. Give us kind of some slack.
Okay, brunt. Definition. The worst part of chief impact of a specific thing. Okay, so education will bear the brunt. So when you're bearing the brunt of it all. There you guys, you're learning with us. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's easy to be like, fuck it. Why do I keep living? And then you see things like Anthony Bourdain and you're like, damn.
He was too good
for
this world.
They fucking figured it out.
Yeah.
Because I always go back to this thing that Marilyn Reichkub, comedian extraordinaire, once said that death is only depressing for the living.
Yeah. Which is true.
It's dark, but
it's dark,
is.
But true.
Mental illness, baby. That's how it goes sometimes.
Yeah.
It's just wild. Life is wild, yeah. And it's exhausting.
I think if you're depressed or if you have experience with depression, you have thought about death more often than those who haven't. And you
think
about
it
differently.
Time.
Yeah, me too. But it's not as like scary or depressing to us, though. You know, it's more just like, oh yeah, that'll happen maybe soon, hopefully. Not really, you know, but
I know you think about it all the time. It's very common to be like, or I could just kill myself to get out of this. It's so common to think that. And necessarily it has to get to a certain point, but like, as most studies show, that like suicide, it's rarely is it planned out. More it's kind of like in the moment where they're like, fuck it. And they're mm-hmm. so deep in it that someone kills themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, people do plan their own suicides, but I'm just saying, like,
It's sometimes it is a moment.
Yeah.
A moment impulse.
So if someone had even just remotely just texted them, like, hey, what's up? How are you doing? Like, it could have clearly changed the entire outcome.
Yeah.
You just don't know. It's always, it's a wild card thing.
It really is. And I do think that part of it is, I mean, like, every situation is different and it's a case-to-case basis or whatever, but I do think that depression and anxiety and mental illness can build on you, and when left untreated it can just really get overwhelming and it can just swallow you whole. And that, I think, is leads to suicide, sure, but it also is a moment thing, and it's a spontaneous decision that sometimes is like, not necessarily planned out all the time. I think it's both. I think it can be, it's the impulse control, though. It's like, if you go into your kitchen and you, like, see a knife, it's like, you have to control yourself and, like, not do what you are thinking
you have,
in
like,
your head to do.
You have that weird, like, disjointed thought of, like, should I?
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. Life
but
is crazy.
Sorry to get dark on y'all, but
we talk a lot about mental illness because we're trying to destroy the stigma that you can't talk about it. That's why we talk about it so much. And yeah, you know that me and Shireen have been talking about this a lot because we're going through it. We are on one right now.
Yep.
It's a tough time out here, okay?
It really is.
And speaking of, we didn't really have an episode right after it happened, but the travel ban was upheld by the Supreme Court. Like
that's one way to make me feel depressed as fuck and also not patriotic at all. Like, no thanks. I don't want to celebrate America. That's denying my people entry into this country.
Yeah. It's like, that's another thing. It's like, why am I even celebrating?
Yeah.
Like, this country is trash.
It's such trash.
Like, my people aren't people.
No. They're literally, they're banned from they're I don't know, it's depressing as fuck. But
makes you not want to do anything.
No. Like, what's the fucking point? That's what you think. What's the point?
What is the point? That should be the name of our podcast. What's the point?
I did do have some exciting things that happened this week, though. I was a guest on the Bechdel Cast podcast. Oh, yeah. We talked all about Aladdin.
Shireen's favorite film.
It's not my favorite, but it's up there. It's sentimental value for sure. But it was really fun, and that should be out within the month. You guys should definitely check it out. It was so fun with Jamie and Caitlin to talk about Aladdin. And what else did I do? Oh, the announcement about my short film was became public recently.
Nice. For MoMA in New York.
Yeah. So if you guys are in MoMA the end of July, or in MoMA, if you guys are in New York the end of July, want to see my short film screen there at the MoMA, you guys should go. The tickets go on sale on July 15th. And I'll be there for the Q&A. So I'll post more about it on my social media if you want. But I'm really excited about it. And that was a film that really has to deal with my mental illness and, like, something that I kind of did not enjoy. I did not like the film after I was done with it, but then the response that I got from some people after they saw it really made me feel better. And the fact that they felt seen at all in the film that I made kind of about my weird mind, it was nice. It was validating. And so the fact that it's even at the MoMA is also validating. So if you guys want to see on the big screen and then see me talk about it later with some other cool filmmakers, go to the MoMA on July 29th and buy tickets on July 15th.
Nice.
Which is also my dad's birthday, actually, the 15th.
Oh, my dad's July 11th. 7/11 is my dad.
They're both cancers.
Aren't they?
Yeah.
My dad is such a cancer.
My dad is a cancer, though. Like, for real. I know. Wait. That. It's like, your dad does not sound like a cancer to me. I'm not, like, a big believer in all of this stuff, but it is fun for me. Like, my dad is, like, a homebody. He's hard for him to get out of his shell. Like a crab, like a cancer, because it's a crab, guys.
Yeah, my dad is not a cancer.
I know. That's what I'm saying. The way you describe your dad is like the opposite of mine. That's why I know he's not a cancer.
I mean, he is somewhat of a homebody until he's not. It's very interesting.
Yeah, he just takes a while to crack that shell.
And he doesn't take too much comfort in family, so who knows? Did I tell you that when I was at home for the weekend in June at some point, mid-June, while we were at the AT&T store, this lady like asked what I did, and I was like, oh, whatever, I'm a podcast producer. And my dad goes, she also has her own podcast, and then out loud starts playing it on his, ethnically, because on his phone on this weird podcast app that I was like, what the fuck app is this? And he just starts playing it for the person, and I'm like, oh my God. And I was like trying to like press pause on the phone, like, dad, this is so embarrassing. Dad, stop. And he's like, see her podcast. And I was like, doing like, what are you doing?
He's so cute and proud.
It was truly the most unnerving. Like, I was like, well, please stop doing this right now. And he's like, what? And then I was like, what app is this? He's like, I don't know. I was like, where do you find things anyway? So that was happy birthday, dad.
It's coming up.
This comes out, wait, oh no, it doesn't. It comes out a few days before his birthday.
Happy early birthday, because we probably...
Yes, happy early birthday, dad.
Hope and my dad, too. Amazing. July babies.
Julie's. that doesn't make any sense.
This episode, full disclosure, if you haven't noticed already, it doesn't have a lot of structure to it. Anna and I have been very busy recently, and so...
And mentally ill. So we're going back to the old school style of our show where we have no idea what we're doing.
It's called Stream of Consciousness, and I'm into it because... we're going to be reading some nice reviews later, but we have gotten some bad reviews where they're like, there's not... I don't want to listen to these guys just have a conversation, but I think it's fun. Mm-hmm. So speaking of reviews, if you guys want to be read aloud later... Or in a future episode, I mean, leave us a nice 5-star review on iTunes or your podcast app, and we'll read it out loud like we will at the end of this episode.
I'm incredibly anxious right now.
Wait, about what?
Everything. I'm always... This past week, I have gone between, like, in tears, like, just losing my mind, to, like, completely numb, to, like, what am I doing? To, like, super anxious. I feel like I have not had a moment of peace in a very long minute. Yeah. Like, I am stressed.
Well, Saturday tomorrow, will you have a chance to detox a little bit?
I hope so.
Decompress, rather. Oh, I did. Ooh, this is a good update. I saw my psychiatrist yesterday for the first time since March. She finally fucking made an appointment with me because she works only on Thursdays now.
Oh boy, to really let you know where I'm at in life, Domino's just sent me a message that says, "We've missed you, heart. Come back to pizza," with emojis. That's a notification on my phone right now.
I'm looking at it, yeah.
You guys. Just... my only friend, Domino's app. Oh boy, oh boy. I ordered Domino's last night.
That's
you guys.
Funny. I screenshotted this ad. I want to bring up the psychiatrist thing after I bring up this screenshot that I did yesterday. But on Facebook, one of the suggested ads, it's a group, it's a suggested group, and it's called "Are the Straits Okay?" And I felt seen.
I'm sorry, what?
And I felt seen.
What do they mean, are the straits okay?
I don't know, just it's like a queer group, I don't know. But anyways, I saw my
psychiatrist. They're concerned for the straits?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Fuck these majority groups.
But I saw my psychiatrist yesterday for the first time, and she was like, "Why haven't you seen me?" And I was like, "Bitch, I left you a message like a month and a half ago.
You should
ago.
Go listen to this episode of my podcast."
Yeah, exactly.
Where we talk about your ass.
But she actually recommended someone that I'm actually pretty excited to make an appointment with. She recommended this therapist that is someone from the Jung Institute. And I'm obsessed with Carl Jung. I don't talk about... I mean, like, I should talk about him more. Maybe I will have an episode about, like, mm-hmm. Jung and, like, psychology and psychiatry later. Because I'm very interested in that stuff. And when I was younger, I thought I wanted to be a psychiatrist before I did AP Chemistry. And then I failed. But anyways, Carl Jung is, like, a huge inspiration of mine as far as someone that really... appreciated and brought attention to the subconscious and the unconscious mind, because I've had really vivid dreams my whole life and have very intense deja vu, and I really think there's meaning behind those things, and he really brought that to the forefront of psychiatry. And so this therapist that she recommended to me, that I haven't made an appointment with yet but I am going to soon, he specializes in that stuff, and he's from the Jung Institute. So I'm excited about that, because I'm very wary of, like, therapy. I mean, not wary of it, I'm very supportive of it, but for me personally, I find it hard to trust someone with what I'm saying and, like, rehashing my whole life to time again, because
yeah,
I just feel like it's ingenuine, especially, like, when I did trust my psychiatrist and then she just, like, dropped off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
So, like, trust issues just reinforced all over and over again. But I'm excited to make an appointment with this guy because he seems, like, kind of up my alley. But yeah, I want to, maybe next episode I'll talk really about dreams and, like, my experience with them. And my mom has, like, very supernatural things that have happened to her. And, like, it sounds like hokey pokey, but I'm very interested in that stuff. So stay tuned. Maybe next week. Okay. That's what I think. Because I like this topic, I'll be more prepared next week and really delve into that stuff. But it is something that really interests me, and something that, like, it's I don't know, just growing up with very vivid dreams your whole life, and it's kind of similar to my film, how it's like I didn't know if it was, like, real life or my brain, am I crazy or my world crazy, kind of thing. It does influence my mental state. So next episode, dreams. Sorry, I kind of went on a excited
well on that
tangent.
Note, we're gonna have a quick dream and take a quick commercial break.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Oh, I just woke up from a dream, Shireem. Okay, too much. I'm sorry. No, you're right. You're right. Too much.
You saw my face just drop.
Yeah, just like, the fuck is wrong with you? Thank you so much for letting me dream with you.
Yeah.
You know, like, just wake, if I were to analyze refreshed. It, I would say you punching me in the stomach in the dream may not have actually been a dream because my stomach really hurts right now.
Is that why you have? Is that why your period keeps
happening? Yeah, it's
because I keep punching you.
Punching me in the goddamn stomach, and my stomach is not having it. Harump.
Oh, harump is my favorite word. Did you know that?
Yeah, you told me that.
Oh, okay, of course I did.
You tell me everything. What if I was like really bad friend laugh?
Speaking of your laugh, I love your laugh. I've gone to a lot of comedy shows with Anna, and I think going to comedy shows, you have to like,
to really enjoy your friend's laughs.
Yeah. No. I love your laugh, though, because I'm not someone that is, I don't laugh out loud that easily, but Anna's laugh.
See, I'm like doing a thing where I'm laughing really loudly, but like I do it quietly. Like that's how Shireen does. She goes,
okay, I'm not a breathy laugher. I just smile. I think something's very funny, but I'll just like smile to myself. Yeah. But Anna has a really great laugh, especially for comedy shows.
Like kind of like ho ho ho.
You do like, not sound like that. No, you don't. It's a great laugh.
My diaphragm.
You have like a guffaw. Yeah.
How dare you? A guffaw.
I'm kidding. Oh my god. You just
that's
made
fine.
No, but
a guffaw.
Anyways,
guffaw.
Yeah.
You might know me as my laugh.
Guffaw.
That's the name of my memoir. Guffaw.
That should be your new Starbucks name.
Why don't we just put one guffaw? No, I really insist you put both guffaws.
With a hyphen in between.
Venti caramel macchiato for guffaw. That's me! That's so strange. Where is this? This has escalated in a way that I was not
expecting.
Episode 50,
complete garbage.
Let's just name this. We are complete garbage.
I'm
okay,
into it.
Real quick, I do want to talk about some Middle Eastern things.
Yes, me
too. I don't know if you guys heard in the news recently. Probably not, because we're probably your Middle East news and we're not talking about it. So how could you have heard? Israel is wishy-washy on whether they want Bashar al-Assad in power.
Okay, well.
Now, something I've learned in life is that nothing matters as long as Israel's okay.
Yeah.
I feel like that's in some constitution somewhere that's like, wait, okay, so you're killing all your people, but is Israel okay? So there's this interesting article that came out on Al Jazeera that I will, of course, in the footnotes, where they talk about Israel's position on the war in Syria. And as some of you might know, Israel occupies the Syrian Golan Heights territory.
Mm-hmm.
That's like their area of Syria.
And they have for a long time.
Yeah. So one of their biggest things, as we all know, is Israel hates Iran. Iran hates Israel. It's a long-standing frenemyship. Yeah.
Yep.
They hate each other. You know, they love to hate each other. That's the thing. They love to hate each other.
Mean girls.
Yeah.
You can't sit next to us.
Yeah, exactly. And that's literally what the problem is.
Yep.
Israel does not want Iran to sit next to them, aka their border.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where our good old pals, Russia, come in. Now, in the past, if you listen to us from the start, we have discussed how Russia wants to maintain a stronghold of the Middle East. Yes. Like, Russia wants that Middle East so hard. And thanks to how our politics go with a certain TRUMP who runs this country, Russia is able to do that.
Yep.
So what's happening right now is Russia had, we're in some talks with Israel, and basically Russia supports Bashar al-Assad as they do with, they support Iran as well.
Mm-hmm.
They're allies. Israel is allies with the U.S., as we all know, and that's been an interesting thing because Russia stepped in and they told Israel, if you support Bashar al-Assad, we will make sure, excuse me, burps. Hey guys, that's my brand. Russia said, we will make sure that Iran does not come anywhere near your border. And currently, a lot of it, Israel is a little scared that if Bashar al-Assad is overthrown, that whatever ruling power that takes over could come fuck with Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't want that. But at the same time, you know, they don't want Bashar al-Assad killing their own people, but really they care about their own interests. They don't want Iran coming too close.
Yeah.
And Russia is Russian-backed forces are currently very close in on rebels in southern Syria in an attempt to end a war. So, you know, Assad could easily just be completely okay by the end of the month. Like, who even knows what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Like, Syria is not looking good for the people of Syria, basically, and the rebels. Like, It's looking like Bashar al-Assad is going to continue to reign. And, you know, it's fucked up, but this is the world we live in. So Russia made a deal with Israel. They said, if you support Bashar al-Assad, and I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
You should go read the article on Al Jazeera to really get in depth. There are a few other things we want to touch on, so I don't want to spend too much time on this.
But it'll be on our footnotes.
They made a deal. They were like, if you support us and Bashar al-Assad, we'll make sure Iran doesn't come near you. And we will talk to Iran, we'll be the messenger, and we'll be like, hey, don't do this, don't upset Israel, like, Israel won't come for you, don't come for Israel. And by doing so, they also said, but if Iran does fuck up, you have every right to fuck with them.
Okay.
So they were kind of like, hey, we'll make this deal, but if Russia says we'll make this deal, but if Iran comes for you, you can go for them. And then it's on them because they broke the rules.
Mm-hmm.
So Russia fucking did it. Russia got in because Israel agreed to this.
Right.
So Russia
got in
there.
But did Iran agree to this?
For the most part, Iran, I believe, will do what. The thing is, like, Iran wants to support Bashar al-Assad. Jesus, that's becoming a tongue twister. Yeah. So if Israel backs them and stays away from them, it's like one of those things like, hey, you don't fuck with me, I don't fuck with you.
Right.
We just make sure this dude stays in power. So Russia is holding court. They're being like the messenger of the Middle East. Like, hey, you come to me if you have a problem, I'll fix it
for you. It's already fucked up. Like, that's already a shady situation. Like, anytime, like, a bigger big brother country, America or Russia, like, wants to have a foothold in any smaller country, it's for reasons that are not kosher.
Well, I mean, basically, Israel can fuck with Iranian forces and, like, Hezbollah as long as they tell Russia, and Russia basically pulls their forces out of wherever. I mean, that's, like, why that little scuffle went on after the Iran deal went down, is because it was almost as if, like, they made a deal with Russia to avoid, like, clashing with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mindfuck. Basically, Russia got in and did exactly what they wanted to do, which was take control of the region and be the main person that people go to, like, negotiate and make deals.
Right.
Which is bad.
Bad.
Because Russia is not who we want in control.
No. This is, FYI, if Russia or Israel is involved in anything, if they have interest in anything or back anyone, like, you usually know it's a bad sign.
Yeah, and I mean, this is speculation, but I do think at the same time, while, like, Israel is not necessarily supporting the Bashar al-Assad, like, murdering his people, that they also don't want it, again, this is speculation on my mm-hmm. part, that they don't want, in the same way that Iran doesn't want, for people, like, the people of their country to think they can overthrow their leaders.
Yeah. I agree with
that. It's all about, like,
maintaining that dictatorship.
Yeah, to be like, hey, you can't, you don't,
this is the consequence,
don't get any ideas.
That. Yeah.
Basically. Now, I don't know if that's what Israel really thinks.
But I mean, it makes sense because the Arab Spring, which has been happening, the Arab Spring is basically like since 2011 or 2010, a slew of Arab countries have been having revolutions like Libya and Egypt because they're overthrowing their dictatorships because the people are unhappy. So that's called the Arab Spring, and it catapulted Syria into the same situation. And obviously Syria is having a much harder time than other countries because Bashar al-Assad is a fucking monster and keeps killing everybody. But that makes sense because Israel is probably looking at these other countries that are very close to them, like literally like very close by, and seeing the people revolt. And it probably makes them uneasy because Israel's under a lot of fire right now, too. And they already have another mess under their hands, which is, like, being on occupied land.
Oh.
Yeah. Speaking of occupied land, this happened a couple weeks ago, and I forgot to bring it up. But I do want to bring it up now. But Prince William of the UK, he made a trip to Jerusalem in the end of June. And according to the news site, Prince William was to arrive in the region and will visit, quote, the occupied old city of Jerusalem as part of his tour to the Palestinian territories. Well, Israel and Israeli news did not like the word occupied, and they were really mad. And the Israeli Minister of Jerusalem Affairs, Zeev Elkin, he was enraged. And when Prince William referred to East Jerusalem as occupied land, because he claimed that a, quote, united Jerusalem has been the Jewish capital for 3,000 years, which is also a little absurd because Israel is only like a decade or a century old, and less than that, actually. And claiming a city has been a city dedicated to one ethnicity or religion for 3,000 years is just pretentious, and it enrages me. But apparently the Israeli news website also said that Elkin was especially mad by the Kensington Palace official statement, which said the program in the occupied Palestinian territories will begin with a short briefing on the history and geography of Jerusalem's old city from a viewing point at the Mount of Olives. And on his page, Elkin wrote, "It's regrettable that Britain chose to politicize the royal visit. A unified Jerusalem has been the capital for over 3,000 years, blah, blah, blah. And no twisted wording of the official press release will change the reality. I'm expecting the prince's staff to fix this distortion." So I just, when I read that, I was really, I was happy with the UK and, Prince William's, I mean, even though he didn't write the press release, but, there's the intent behind saying it's occupied does show a certain, recognition of what's going on over there.
Right.
And so that made me feel a little better and not like all hope was lost. Cause like the Palestinians being seen and that land being seen as occupied is very important to the reality of history. So I just wanted to bring that up.
That was a big move. And the UK defended him.
Yeah.
To be like, come on.
Yeah. It's like, that's exactly what happened. Also the UK was a big part of way the, like, Israel being formed. The Churchill was a big part of that. So, it doesn't right their wrong by any means, but it is a step in the right direction. So,
well,
yes, that's what I wanted to bring up because I failed to bring it up the last couple of times.
Yeah, no, I remember we were talking about it a while back.
Yeah.
And
then there's also something else about Israel before we change topics. So 11 months ago, this man Benjamin Ladra. He started an 11-month walk from Sweden to Palestine.
Oh, yeah. Did he make it?
He made it.
We talked about this a while ago.
Yeah, we talked about it a while ago, and he made it yesterday. Wow. And as expected, Israel denied entry to him.
Wow.
Classic
Israel.
Yeah, I'll post the Facebook post on our footnotes, but he posted on Facebook about it, and he said, "The Israelis did not allow me entry into Palestine. I was interrogated for about 6 hours before they told me I was denied entry. They only gave me two reasons."
Why did they interrogate him?
Exactly. "They only gave me two reasons for denying me entry. One was that they thought I was lying during the interrogation, and the other was that they thought I would go into the Nebi Saleh, which is a neighborhood in Palestine, occupied territory, and make a demonstration, which they just assumed. On this day, it has been 11 months of walking and speaking about human rights violations under the occupation. Now ask yourself why the Israeli state fears one Swedish man so much that they didn't allow him entry into the country they are occupying. This is the power of activism."
Jesus, that's really crazy.
Yep.
6 hours of interrogation from some Swedish guy who's like, you know what, I'm going to walk.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no, one not man, this guy.
One guy. Like, it's stupid. And he posted a picture of himself at the border and also of the paper that they gave him that denied him entry. From the border control.
Israel needs to grow up.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
But it's not a place of freedom. It's a place of oppression and occupation and colonization, and it's so this is just proof of that. So big props to Benjamin Ladra and his sorry if I butchered that name, but it's LADRAA, and I'll post that post of his on our footnotes. But he did a really unique form of activism, which I think was the purpose was to raise awareness, and everywhere he stopped along his 11-month walk, he would talk about the occupation, and I like that kind of activism because it just it draws attention to a good cause, and it's not exact, and it's very peaceful. It's a peaceful protest, even though it's not always as effective as other. I mean, I don't know. It's effective, but it's just a powerful reminder, like the difference that one individual can make. So, yeah.
Boy, oh boy.
That's my last Israel thing.
I'm going to pivot over to Israel's favorite lover, Iran.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to follow up on our, if you remember, not in the last episode, but the episode before last, we talked about how Iran, because of sanctions, the Iranian soccer team for the World Cup could not basically be sponsored by Nike or any other big brand, and they had to purchase all their own equipment and whatnot, cleats and, you know, jerseys, and that's why you can't purchase a jersey for Iran on the FIFA World Cup website. Well, real quick, shout out to Iran. They tied with Portugal in the World Cup, but unfortunately they didn't have enough points to advance to the next round. But it was kind of a legendary game because Portugal has since been eliminated, but they're a great team.
Yeah.
One of the best. Of course, they have Mr. Ronaldo, Cristiano, Mr. Eyebrows. Those eyebrows are unreal. Literally, like, his eyebrows are... It's just like, we know you get them done, bitch. As an eyebrow bitch, like, don't.
I recognize
even,
it.
Even. Like, who's your lady? Tell me who does your eyebrows. I probably know her. Just coming for his eyebrows so hard. Like, oh, cool eyebrows. I know you get them done. Anyway, I don't know why I'm so obsessed with his eyebrows. They actually used to be a lot worse.
Now I think just as Middle Eastern girls, we notice eyebrows or just facial hair or in general very immediately. And so it's something we're just a sixth sense.
I just knew from the start. Anyway, so this fool, Cristiano Ronaldo, had a penalty kick against Iranian keeper Alireza Behranvand. And Behranvand got it.
Nice.
Like, he stopped the goal. He jumped on it.
Like Captain Majid.
Yeah, he like fucking got it. Like, it was amazing. Like,
wow.
I watched the video like 1,000 times. I think we retweeted it on our Instagram. I mean, not Instagram, Twitter. It's a beautiful catch, and he like holds on to the ball. He stays and looks like he's crying. And aww. Cristiano Ronaldo looks like a little like huff and puff, like, whatever. Like, and he looks so upset because he didn't make his penalty shot. And it's the most beautiful thing because it's like, even though we lost, or technically we didn't lose, we tied, but even though we didn't go on, like, we went on in our hearts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And honestly, the fact that they weren't sponsored by anybody and they still made it that far is pretty fucking amazing. You know? They're the underdogs of the underdogs. It was amazing.
They were a strong team.
Yeah.
To hold off a team like Portugal, and they held off Spain, and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's take a moment of silence. And so anyway, to pivot off the sanctions, I kind of want to talk about a story. So the thing is, like, I held a bunch of stories after they came out because we like had a episode with Ismail. So I kind of want to talk about this. The U.S. told other countries that they had to stop importing Iranian oil or that they would be hit by sanctions too.
What?
Yeah.
No.
How insane is that?
That's so fucked.
How insane is that?
Fucking America. God. Like,
our oil prices are...
Like, you're demonizing...
If you cut Iranian oil out of the global market, you are fucking us all. I've said this before. I think, like, 580-something million barrels go out a day for Iran. That's how much oil they have that's going out.
Yeah.
Okay?
You're not just fucking up Iran's economy. You're fucking up everyone else's.
And apparently oil prices in the U.S. have increased more than 3.5% since the news hit.
Wow.
So now we're, like... We're fucked.
Yeah.
I made a joke on Twitter, like, Iranians, like, Iranian nationals should be able to get a little card that says we're Iranians. So we get, like, 40% off our gas. Like, well, I'm Iranian, so by blood, this is for me.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy. It's like, don't fuck with other countries, Trump. It's like, you don't get it.
No.
You don't get it. And he put a deadline. I think it's, like, in November or something. It's truly crazy.
Wow.
I don't understand why they want to do this, why they want to fuck with Iran. Because let's be real, the travel ban in the end is an Iran ban. They don't want to, they're pissed at Iran. They've got Israel in their ear being like, they're making nuclear weapons. Like, they don't get it. There's no consensus within the White House. Okay, well, Mr. Jim Mattis, Secretary of Defense. This fool's the only guy, and this guy... Unfortunately, it's like he's just a regular, you know, casual Republican. So his word means nothing to Trump. Like, he has to be an extremist to be heard out. And he's the only guy being like, yeah, you know, we really shouldn't be doing this. Like, we shouldn't have left the Iran deal. Like, we shouldn't be, like, making Iran this, like, devil country. Like, this is not going to end well.
Yeah.
Like, we shouldn't fuck with them. And, of course, Trump doesn't hear anything because he's got, like, probably, like, John Mustache Bolton in his ear being like, well, let me tell you a little licky story.
Yeah, the mustache just blocks everything else.
Yeah, he's just, like, his little mustache, like, brushes against Trump's ear. Like, let's kill them all.
Disturbing. Boy. Yeah, it's like Jafar.
Did I paint a nice image?
Yeah, I did.
And that's what's going on. And it's disgusting. And we're all going to die. it's actually insane. And this travel ban isn't helping. No. Telling people that they are not, like just telling anyone that they're not one of us and they're different.
Yeah.
I've said this 1,000 times. That is how insurgents are born. That is why people join ISIS.
That's why you see Middle Eastern countries, like young people that hate America, because you're denying them entry into this country. You're making them feel like they're an other. Whether it's an Iran ban, like it's the travel ban is essentially, in my opinion, a Muslim ban. It is definitely an Iran ban, a Syrian ban, all those countries. But it's a Muslim ban and it's an Arab and Middle Eastern ban. And you're making those young people in those countries like you're making that hate fester within them, and you're making it grow, and you're making it you're giving them a reason to hate you.
Yeah, and sorry to be that bitch, but Iranians are the most successful immigrants in this country. Okay, don't forget that. We got the brains, and you are shutting the brains out. So I don't know who's gonna make your new apps. Okay. The brain drain is real. Do you know how many Iranians came to America before the revolution happened? Because they had visas on visas on visas for students to come in and study in America and basically build this country, give you everything you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was on the Baybridge Project. My mom builds cameras to spy on you. That's right. She does the work for this country to watch your ass. And they're just, my parents don't even speak English. They can just do it because they're that smart. And you're losing that when you shut these people out. It's insane to me that they don't even get it. They have no scope. They think these white ass people are going to do anything. Sorry to be a white hater.
You're
or whatever.
Taking our jobs. This Mexican man is mowing my lawn and
but
taking
you don't
my
understand.
Job.
When an immigrant comes to this country, they know they have to do something.
Yeah, they have
so
to
they
prove
work
themselves
hard.
That's
Americans,
the whole idea
we don't
of a model
work
minority.
Hard. Yeah. I sit on my ass all fucking day. When I have a day off, I will literally melt into a couch and eat, like, literally put my butthole in a container of ice cream. That's not true. I've never done that. But
that's weird.
I'm trying to make a point. I am a spoiled piece of shit because I was born and raised in America and I think I don't owe anything to anyone. But my parents came here. I know. I'm totally sound like my dad. Like, I came here.
No, but it's true. Fight. My parents are the same. It's they came here with little to none and they proved themselves. And well, actually, I mean... Immigrants are smarter than all of us.
Yes, immigrants are the fucking backbone of this country.
They really are.
They make this world work. They make this clock tick. They do everything.
Without them, we're fucked.
Yeah.
And not only are we fucked, but we're stupider.
It's like, remember that movie, A Day Without the Mexicans? That movie was crazy. People were like, why is my grass growing? Like, it's like trash. It's like, you guys don't get it. You want to cut all these people out and be like, they're rapists. They're bad people. They're terrorists. And it's like, motherfucker, who do you think makes your food?
Yeah.
On that note,
we'll be back.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Okay. But yeah, immigrants are smarter than you.
We're back. You're just like, okay.
Okay, we're back. We're back.
No, you've made your point.
Keep it in. But no, really, an immigrant is smarter than you. Something that really infuriates me is when someone that is only fluent in one language will make fun of someone for having an accent. That enrages me because that person with an accent is smarter than you, first of all, because they're speaking in another language that isn't their first language. And second of all...
You're talking about my relationship with my father, right?
No, I mean, I make fun of my parents a good amount, true, but it's... We need to have respect for these people that are coming here and trying their fucking best and to rebuild a life for not only for them, but for their families. And these people, especially the ones that are recent in the news recently, whether they're getting their children ripped away from them with like no chance of ever seeing them again, maybe, and then the ones that are being banned. Like, there's no. America always needs a villain. And right now, it's the immigrants and it's the Middle Easterners and it's anyone else that's not white.
Right.
And it's just not right. I think we need to keep an open mind. And if you fall victim to these thought processes that like someone is lesser than you because of their skin color or whatever, like you have to really analyze why you think that. It's not, you know what I mean? It's Trump's whole campaign is built on fear. And his whole notion of them versus us is built on fear. And the country is trying to make us afraid of someone that's different than us. And it's important to just be smarter than that, you know? Fear is, it's like a Machiavellian kind of he thinks he can maintain his rule with fear versus with compassion. And, like the prince from Machiavelli.
Yeah. And to continue on a few more Iran notes, news stories, there's protests going on all over southern Iran right now because of water shortage. There's pollution. They really, Iranian citizens are upset at the government. They think the government doesn't care about them. They're too busy, you know, worried about wars in Syria and what's going on elsewhere. And they're not worried about their own people. And that's causing a lot of problems and turmoil in the country. Now that sanctions are happening, everything's going to get more expensive. The rial, which is the dollar of Iran, has dropped. Like, money is almost becoming worthless. Like, everything's going to become expensive. There's no way to bring in goods. Like, sanctions are going to fuck this country again. And the people are upset. They're like, what are we going to do? And the government's like, okay, well, have you heard of Syria? And it's like, it's a mess. And people are very upset. There are videos of women walking around unveiled without their hijabs to fight for their dignity and their rights. The country is, it's upset.
Yeah.
And they're stepping up and they're being like, no more. We don't want this anymore. This life is becoming too hard for us. And unfortunately, the fucked up thing is, might not do anything. The regime is very powerful.
The one thing that's different in modern times is the power of social media and the fact that there are videos being taken of these things. Like 2 days ago, speaking of Iran and videos, Iranian women have been filming themselves dancing in the streets in defiance of a very strict ban. This ban or bans women from dancing in front of men who are not their family members.
Yeah.
And this effectively means you're banned from dancing in public spaces. Like, just think about that for a moment. It's like Footloose for all y'all white people, but it's like real life.
You're not really like allowed to play music publicly in Iran.
So now dozens of videos have been uploaded to social media in the recent weeks that show women dancing in the streets, and they're risking arrest in defiance of this dancing ban.
It's kind of amazing.
Yeah. And so these strict laws and on dancing, they also extend to men. It's not just a woman ban. They extend to men. In April 2018, a youth concert at a shopping mall in Masad was branded as a, quote, offense against public decency, as young men and women were filmed clapping and dancing while watching a performance.
That's wild.
Like, that's, come on, man. Like,
they don't like, it's weird. It's
they don't like fun.
It's like, yeah, because fun's like a sin in their eyes. It's very weird.
But it led to the arrest of the head of the city's Islamic guidance department. Because it's illegal for Iranian women and men to dance on the street. And that's not stopping them, though. And these videos have been collated by a U.S. media company, Vocative, and they've clocked up to hundreds of thousands of views online. And last year, six people, four men and two women, were arrested for teaching Zumba classes in a public square in Tehran. Zumba classes are even banned in women's only gyms, according to the Telegraph.
Really? My cousin in Iran is Tehran is a Zumba teacher. My stomach just made the most absurd sound.
This article's from 2 days ago. I wonder if something has changed.
I don't know. I mean, she seems to be teaching Zumba, but I don't know.
Yeah. But anyway, the style of dance protest has been happening for several years, as well as social media protests showing men and women in Iran illegally removing their headscarves in public spaces. But I wanted to bring up the dancing because it wouldn't be as effective without these videos being on the internet and viral and everything, you know? And so that's one good thing about modern news is that it has the ability to show us what's going on and show us how absurd it is that there's even a fucking dancing ban or that someone could get arrested for clapping and having a good time in fucking public. So the article that I'm reading from, it's from News Hub. It will obviously be in our footnotes. Please check it out and you can see the videos of these women dancing, literally just dancing in the streets. It's not crazy, provocative dancing. They're just dancing, like having a good time.
Yeah.
This happened a couple years ago when that Happy video came out, that Pharrell's Happy video. People were arrested because they were dancing to the song Happy in Iran. Like, y'all, that's some fucked up shit, and it's wrong, That's not about religion. That's not in the Quran that says you can't fucking dance. That's someone's extreme take on power and control and twisting whatever religion means to them into a really disgusting way. But yeah, definitely check out these news articles, and it's crazy. The countries that have less freedom than we do, the kinds of protests that they have utilize, whether it's dancing, whether it's walking for 11 months, you know what I mean? It's out of desperation and it's out of the need for change. So, oh, sorry, so passionate.
No, I mean, I love to dance. You know that about me.
I love dancing. Dancing's the fucking best.
Yeah, dancing is the one thing my father and I bond over the most. Like, we can really break it down.
Yeah.
Okay, so shall we get into some reviews?
Yeah! We thought we would read aloud some emails and reviews on iTunes from y'all. I have an email pulled up that I already wanted to read. It was from about 8 days ago. Catherine Courier, her subject title says, "You're a super hooked fan." And she says, "Dear Anna and Shireen, I have been drafting an email to you for a little while, and I have so much to say. Before I wrote to you, I wanted to do my due diligence and write a review. I can't tell you how hyped I was when you read it on the air. I was on the subway, and I'm pretty certain my whole face lit up." And she just keeps going, and she said, "When I started listening to the podcast, I was expecting a brand new perspective, which I definitely got. What I didn't expect to hear was my reality. What you said about looking for a psychiatrist and trying to find the right medication, about having anxiety, not wanting kids, it really related to me. I was walking into therapy when I heard it, and I couldn't believe what I was hearing. You made me feel normal." And so then she talks about Syria and how she's glad that we talked about that stuff, and she thanks me for being like honest about what's going on in Syria or whatever. And then she thanks Anna for just being like the best, because she's the best. And then she says, "Just best wishes to you." And P.S. Catherine, she gave us some like cool podcast topics. Also, if you want to email us with some podcast recommendations, feel free. But she has some good ones, but we'll get to those later.
Yes, because when we run out of ideas, you get episodes like this.
Yeah!
Just kidding, we were lazy. Here's a review. "Just finished binge listening by Liza Beth. Love it. The hosts are so funny and bring important info to us whiteys."
Yeah.
Love that. Love whiteys.
Callan Holder, which is a super fan of ours that I'm a big fan of, he apparently had been having trouble getting his review published because he said something anti-Israel. And he finally took out the anti-Israel thing, and iTunes finally published it, which is wild to me. But his review says, "I can't recommend this show enough. The level of care they put into their research for each episode," not this one, "is greatly appreciated. Funny, insightful, and incredibly informative. 10 out of 10. Thank you, Callan.
Nice. Yeah. I have one. "A much-needed voice by Master of Puppets. Anne and Trina are the perfect pair of hosts to bring light to topics many of us in the Western world simply don't know enough about. It's funny, but also heartbreaking at times. But above all, it is real. These ladies are simultaneously learning, teaching, and drawing from their own experiences and backgrounds to give a valuable perspective. I enjoy this podcast every week and look forward to listening to it for years to come."
Wow. I feel like I might have read the one aloud last time. Maybe. But either way, it's a great fucking review. And it's worth another read. The most recent review is from Scotty Mick58. And he says, "Love this podcast, despite the fact that the podcasters sometimes make me cry. In the way that to know someone is truly all it takes to love someone, this podcast is a great window into the lives of brown people in America, what they suffered due to ignorant neighbors, ignorant negligence of the majority. I wish my older white relatives understood how podcasts work just to listen to this little gem." Me too.
Me too.
Here's another one. I don't know if you read this one before, but who knows? "Not Alone" by Lish NYC. "I can't say enough great things about this podcast. The best part of it stems from my own personal history. My great-grandfather immigrated to the U.S. in the early 1900s from Lebanon. I grew up in a very white town and always felt different from my peers. Listening to Ethnically Ambiguous helped me see how much my great-grandfather influenced the culture of my family and four generations later my own identity. There's a camaraderie Anna and Trine give those of us that have a Middle Eastern background and find themselves struggling to find that community where we're at physically. Anna and Trine also provide a level of education that is definitely not seen in American culture, media, and educational system. It's a point of view I find myself appreciating more and more every week. Thank you, Anna and Trine, for bringing people together, educating us all, and helping us not feel alone."
I love that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
The whole point of the podcast, is to make people feel not alone. I really love that. Batman 9711. His title is five star, or his or her title is 5 stars, no less. Thank you. Mm-hmm. "These hosts are so funny, honest, and informative. Even though this is often a current events podcast, I feel compelled to go back and listen to all the previous episodes." Very good. Thank you. Thank you. Because
those are all great.
Even though it is technically a current events podcast, it is also worth going. I mean, it's not always current events, because we like called our like parents one episode, and we talked about like personal stories of ours. So I think it's worth a good listen, the whole catalog. You know, we're only 50 deep, so it's only 50 hours of your life.
What are you gonna do?
Yeah.
Okay, so I would read more, but I have things I have to go do. I want to say I was on a podcast called Tome Foolery with Cody Melcher, where I read this book Unfiltered by Phil Robertson, who was the patriarch of the Duck Dynasty series. And the book is fucking insane. Whoa. It's all about God, and I am Christian now. Amen. And no. So check it out. We talk about the book and break down all his insane ideas about how everything could be solved if we all just believed in God. It's really that crazy.
Wow.
So check it out. Tome Foolery. TomeFoolery. I believe I'm the most recent episode as of now. So check it out if you want to hear me losing my mind over some crazy shit. And Cody Melcher is so funny, and he's great. And the podcast is so fun. He reads so many really absurd books and then does shows on them. Like, I don't know how he takes it all in. He's a genius.
How does he have the time for that?
I don't know. Wow. He just likes to read, so wow. He like knows all. He likes to read, and he likes to break down insane people's philosophies, and it's a good time, and it's a great podcast. So check that out.
Yeah,
and check out Shereen on Bechdelcast, Aladdin.
Yeah, I don't know when that comes out, but it'll come out soon.
Yeah, and we'll shout it out again.
It's a great time. Yeah. I think that's all we got for today.
Yes. So do you want to follow us on Twitter at ethnicallyamb, A-M-B. Follow us on Instagram at ethnicallyambig, A-M-B-I-G. Go to our website, ethnicallyambiguouspod.com. Check out our footnotes with all the information we've been talking about. And yeah. Oh, you can follow me on Twitter at Anna Hosnier, A-N-N-A-H-O-S-S-N-I-E-H.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Shereen Y, S-H-E-R-E-E-N-W-H-Y. And on Instagram, I'm Shirohero, S-H-E-E-R-O-H-E-R-O. Yeah, and I'll obviously be spamming y'all with my film screening in New York. But if any of you guys are going to be in New York on July 29th, I would love to see you there.
Great.
Yes.
You're going to bite that ass?
I'd bite that ass.
Great.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.